Malin Church has written this article in the March 2017 issue of Signs of the Times. It's entitled Inspiration and Why It's Important. Your narrator is Calvin Follett. Not far into our marriage, Shelley and I attended a health class where the instructor insisted that one of the best things we could do for our minds and bodies was to sleep with the bedroom window wide open. If you don't, he said, you're just lying there for 6 or 7 hours breathing the same old air again and again. So that night we tried it, and I'll never forget how I felt when I woke up the next morning. It was like someone had charged my lungs with electricity. And since then, we've kept the window open almost every night. Even the really frigid winter ones. Literally, if you use one of the old definitions of my American Heritage Dictionary, I had become inspired. In the original Latin, the word inspire meant to inhale. Nowadays, of course, inspire means more than just breathing. A beautiful song can inspire me emotionally, and a motivational speaker can inspire me to better organize my life. But my dictionary's first definition for inspire was to affect, guide, or arouse by divine influence. Christians believe that God influenced and directed the minds of men and women, and this inspiration made certain people channels of divine revelation, communicating the Lord's will to others. God has used a number of ways to communicate with people depending on what He wants to accomplish. Back in Eden, God was able to walk through the garden with Adam and Eve and have face-to-face conversations with them, even on that sad day when they chose to distrust Him. But once the unhappy couple was banished from Eden's gates, their sin prevented them from meeting a holy God face-to-face. He had to use other ways to communicate with them. I'll describe several of these ways in what follows. Direct speech with God remaining invisible. When Cain, the firstborn human, got jealous of his brother Abel, God spoke to him directly to warn him, and He talked with Cain again after he committed the world's first murder. Other two-way divine conversations happened with Abraham, Moses, Samuel, and others. Dreams. Once in a while, God used vivid dreams to communicate with those who believed in Him, including Jacob, Joseph, Daniel, and others. God even used dreams to communicate with unbelievers, including the Egyptian Pharaoh and the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar. Angel visits. Occasionally, God deputized angels to convey His messages to people such as Abraham's nephew Lot, Gideon, Samson's parents, Jesus' mother-to-be Mary, and even to the Roman centurion Cornelius to pave the way for Peter's arrival. Divine inspirations. Christians whose hearts are open to truth and who are wrestling with decisions might occasionally receive inspirations about what to do. Truly divine inspirations always agree with Bible truth. In fact, Jesus and Bible writers give solemn warnings about being deceived by false prophets. God even guides church councils if they are open to His leading, such as in Acts 15. When the Christian leaders in Jerusalem were called upon to decide a theological issue, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us, they said. And then they went on to offer their carefully prayed-over decision. A lively imagination is one of God's wonderful gifts to us, but it can be dangerous if we come to believe that every impression, especially one we might welcome, is from God, and to imagine that every dramatic dream we have is some kind of message from heaven would lead us to faith chaos. When I was 5 years old, our next-door neighbor lady, who considered herself an inspired prophet, accused my mother of breaking into her house and stealing her red sweater. Mom was indignant about this, and even more shocked when the lady told her that God had revealed the theft. Later, our neighbor discovered that she had simply misplaced her sweater and had jumped to the wrong conclusions when she later saw my mom wearing a similar one. This divine inspiration wasn't divine at all. Written over the span of 1,600 years by 40 different authors, the Bible provides 750,000 words of documentation about God's most important thoughts, plans, and actions for us humans. Cultures whose history and philosophy have been transmitted by what's known as oral tradition must depend on the accuracy of each elder's story, because there's no way back to the originals. But God has made certain to preserve His truths in ink through manuscripts that are carefully copied and recopied over centuries of history. And he's also provided an unspoken chain of Bible inspiration so that we can trust each book from Genesis to Revelation. Here's how it works. The New Testament, the Gospels Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were all biographies of Jesus. And the book of Acts recounts the history of the first 2.5 decades of the Christian church. Then come the writings of Paul, followed by letters written by James, Peter, John, and Jude, and finally Revelation, the Bible's most dramatically written prophetic book. It's also significant that Revelation contains many allusions to the Old Testament, and to its author, Jesus' apostle John, even provides a chilling warning to everyone who might try to add or subtract from its words. Luke, who wrote both Luke and Acts, shows that the early Christians regarded Jesus' acts and words as authoritative, and Peter, while admitting that Paul's writings were sometimes hard to understand, considered them to be just as inspired as other scriptures. I've found that Bible's inspired words have many powerful benefits. Here are just a few. God's word gives me joy. Jeremiah 15:16 says, "When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight." Psalm 119:105. God's word guides me along life's paths. Psalm 119:105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's word increases my intelligence. In Psalm 119:130, we read, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." God's word reveals enormous ideas. Isaiah 8:20 says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." God's word keeps me from sinning. Psalm 119:11, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." A week or so after I started sleeping with the bedroom window open, my lungs no longer felt the electric zing. The reason was that I had become accustomed to this healthier way of resting, and I discovered that on nights I forgot to open it. I'd awaken feeling a bit stifled. I think it's that way with God's inspired word. The wonderful gift is like fresh heavenly air to my soul, and I plan to continue breathing in its life-giving influence.